everybody. This is Armand DeMel with you with the Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Yesterday we did a remarkable program, Roberta Atti and I. We're doing a show with Eric Walden on magic. We talked about magic, and we talked about belief in magic, and what it takes to do magic. And Eric, who is a professional magician, came to us and told us, you know, he doesn't do anything special. He doesn't read minds, and doesn't have any ESP. He just creates illusion. And that this creating illusion is what people really relish and appreciate, because people want to believe that that which they can't explain is explainable. And they want to believe that there is something there that somebody has an explanation of, somebody has control over, you know? They want to know that there are daddies out there who have the secrets, so that we could be children who are learning the secrets. And that there's an ideal state in life where you could be a child still learning. Well, I kind of like that. I love magic. I like to see tricks. I like to see things happening. I like to not understand everything. But then comes this whole concept of education. And with this, there is also this thing about always learning about yourself and learning how you could possibly improve yourself. Well, through the good graces of Gladys Santapau, one of my associates, I was directed to two people who are leaders in helping people find more powerful living. My guests today are Will Cook and Christine Langerman. Will Cook and Christine Langerman are their life coaches and more. But the main thing that they do is they run workshops on the 7 key steps to lead your life more effectively. Now, wherever you are in the world listening to this program today, these are 7 key steps that are used and have been taught to industry professionals, to leaders, to finding ways of being a more powerful self. So I want to introduce my two guests. Christine, welcome to WBAI. Whoops. Christine, welcome to WBAI.
Hello, Armand.
This is very exciting. So you're doing this in America. Obviously, you're from Germany originally, right?
Right, that's true.
And you've been teaching this. You do this professionally. You teach people how to actualize their lives,
That's right. I teach people how to lead themselves more effectively through life. And we developed 7 key steps, which are quite easy to pursue, and everybody can learn. So everybody can do this.
Will?
Yes, that's true. Everybody can do this. And the thing is that in embracing ourselves, we have 2 parts that we need to embrace.
What does that mean, embrace yourself?
Well,
grab your arm?
No, not exactly.
You know, I'm going to do this all show.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
You know what we've got here? We've got 2 professionals who are used to talking to other professionals, and I'm going to get them used to talking to the cab driver in Saudi Arabia who's listening.
Okay,
embrace yourself.
Got it. Well, I'll go further with that and say that if you look at a wheel and you got spokes on that wheel and you notice that there are parts and aspects of that wheel, if one spoke is out, it can affect the entire course of the wheel. So when you look at aspects of people or parts of people, we have parts that feel dark and parts that are light and passionate about. And what we try to do is, in terms of embracing, is noticing that the key distinctions of being dark and light is there are things that we're afraid of. But inside of those things we fear are gifts. And what I mean by that is we try to run from the pain, but when you learn from the pain and you go into that peace, you can take a golden nugget out of that. And, of course, what people are more familiar with is the passionate aspects of self. So
okay,
really,
now wait, let's slow that down a little.
Sure.
Will Cook is talking about finding the different parts of yourself, and that by using these different parts of yourself and trying to find out these different parts somehow, you're going to get yourself rolling a little better. among the seven steps, you know, let's do it kind of systematically. And Christine, give me, what is the first, very first step?
The first step is what kind of decisions you're making. Let's say, for example, what will you have for dinner tonight? How do I lead myself to come to a decision, to a meaningful decision?
You mean the very first step is for you to understand your own process of decision making?
Right.
That's a pretty difficult thing to do, understand your own decision. Most people's process of decision making is based on need. I mean, do you think about how do you understand your process of decision making? How do you find what sequence you follow? How do you do that? How do you learn it?
Well, the interesting bit is that I have to understand what I really want and who I am, what to meet my needs. For example, if I come back to the simplified example of dinner tonight, what is it I like to eat? And what is it I don't like to eat? For example, I personally like to eat salad. Other people might like to eat meat or a steak or a fish or anything else. Or maybe even some muesli. So whatever it is, it's important to when you open up to create and build your awareness to learn who you are, to know yourself better. And that's the first step to develop that awareness.
I know you guys do these workshops where you have a number of people who come to your workshops who are really skilled at doing this. I don't have a shadow. Well, I shouldn't use the word shadow. I still want to know how you're going to do this. If you're going to try to figure out how do you decide to have dinner, and that is one of the key steps in getting to live your life more effectively, somehow you're teaching a lesson here, but I don't get what the lesson is. Hmm. What's the lesson? Stick with just this one. How do you get to know yourself by how you're going to order dinner? Can you answer that, Will?
Through different experiences. And what I mean by that is in knowing yourself, you have to put yourself through what are called perceived risks. And I know that's a big word, but one of the ways of transforming your life is to, if you have a fear, is to do something in spite of that fear. And what you do in that aspect is you learn a little bit about yourself. And when you're able to take that step, then you can take on another aspect and learn. It's the learning. It's what you get from an experience that tells you who you are and what you want out of life.
I see. Is that step number one?
Well, it's...
Or did you just skip to like seven steps?
No, what I'm saying is that you develop an awareness of self, and when you have experiences, you begin to know what is it that I want, what is my calling, what is it that... you can do that via psychotherapy or coaching or some type of methodology that will help you to... find out who you are as a person, and sometimes experiences will kind of tease that out a little bit.
What gets in the way of finding out who you are, Christine? What gets in your way? What kind of things are the stumbling blocks?
The typical stumbling blocks are actually the ones in myself. So I'm in my way. I can be in my way. For example, coming back to the simplified example about dinner and the decision-making on that, I could just... leave it up in the air and go back home after work and look into my fridge and see what's in there. And that would be then that would be a very simple way to approach that, making that choice or that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could already in the morning, sitting in the train to Grand Central, make a list of the most delicious ingredients I can imagine for my wonderful dinner after a hard day of working long hours. And, you know, in my break, I could go shopping and get all of these ingredients. That would be more a planned, structured way to approach it.
What a beautiful description. Now, there you are, my friends, ladies and gentlemen, whoever's listening to this program today. How about that for a plan tonight? What would you like for dinner tonight? Now, I know we're talking about actualizing the self, but let's take the Christine Langerman solution. You know, and I like it. I like it. What ideally, the hell with those leftovers, you know, what ideally would you like to have? And then this begins as an example, to give you an example, to give you the steps of exactly what gets in your way in your entire life. Because whatever stops you from visualizing it, what would you like to have? I would like to have a wonderful souffle. You know, okay, where do you get a wonderful souffle? Can you make a wonderful souffle? What stops you from having a wonderful souffle? All of these things come to mind. And then all of the other elements that you guys are going to teach us are what's going to stop you from making your life into the most beautiful souffle. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're learning the 7 key steps for turning your life into a beautiful souffle. We are, I guess, our Will Cook and Christine Langerman, and they are teaching us how to do some power living, and they teach quite a number of people, and they're coming up, having a couple of workshops coming up here, some at the Gestalt Institute. So let's see, what gets in your way? How does your shadow self help you make a better souffle, if that's what you want to have tonight? Anybody?
Well, you know, people do more to avoid pain than gain pleasure. And what I mean by that is when people are afraid of, they tend to either avoid something or move towards pain in a sense where they are more worried about, you know, what if I fail? Instead of asking, well, what if I succeed? And what if I have abundance? And so sometimes in life that people need leverage to determine. And what that means simplified is that if somebody, say, wants to lose weight, they have to have a leverage. It has to be a must for them. If it's not a must, they're going to be wishy-washy. They're not going to go for it. And sometimes a must might come from a doctor saying, you need to do this. But what people are afraid of is usually what they focus on. If you take the example of a race car driver and race car driving
school. Well, can we stick with the souffle for a minute?
Oh, the souffle.
Yeah, let's stick for dinner. And it doesn't have to be a souffle, but you want to make dinner. First of all, what is a shadow self? What is that expression? I know you guys use it. Mm-hmm. How does your shadow self relate to this? What is a shadow self? What is it, Christine?
Yes, Armand, you could see the shadow self as being an abandoned part of myself. For example, I would sit in the train back again in the morning to Grand Central, and then I would realize how internally in my own inner dialogue I would start to negotiate. You know, what is it I really would like to have for dinner tonight? And, maybe a voice from my mom is coming up, but this is too fat, or this is too much.
You shouldn't have souffle, it's too much.
Dinner, you cannot sleep very well if you eat late at night, you know, these wonderful 7 courses meals, for example. Or one of my favorite foods as a child were Spätzle with cheese. So back in Germany and Switzerland.
Macaroni and cheese.
Yes,
absolutely.
Right, and that's quite heavy, as we all know. You know,
and so your mother is on the train to Grand Central,
right,
telling you shouldn't be eating this. So
yes.
Now your shadow self is the part of you that cowers to the message from the past. Is that exactly right?
That's exactly right.
And this is what you were talking about, Will, when you said we run away from the pain of it by giving into it, right?
Yes.
And so we give into it and we say, all right, well, then I can't have it. It's not a choice. It's not that I don't want to eat the macaroni and cheese because it's going to make me fat. It's that I can't. It's like I don't even take it as a choice.
Absolutely.
It's not a choice. It's not in my mind. So the shadow self and recognizing the shadow self as a messenger who is kind of a repressed self is an important part of the wheel of spokes that Will is talking about that we're trying to find a balance in.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Wonderful.
That's,
yes.
That's
well put.
That's the second part.
Yep.
So now this comes a third part. Now we've got the shadow side, you know, working on trying to make your choice of what to have to dinner, and we've uncovered all this shadow there all over the place. And now, how are you going to set fire to this whole thing? How are you going to get it to work? What are you going to do?
Well, the third part, the third step is to ignite your passion again.
Ignite your passion.
Imagine,
I like that.
Imagine myself sitting in this train.
Best way to cook a souffle is to ignite your passion.
Right. And you would really could literally see my inner negotiation, which is going on, the dynamic. And then I would open up towards creatively kind of picking myself up again and developing a creative solution and kind of like putting some wonderful spices to it so that it, again, the fire can ignite again. What could that be? In that example, I could either see whether I would, you know, if I would be open to give up my macaroni and cheese, whether I would deserve a dessert, for example. So I could start to creatively work with myself and to renegotiate so that still my love for life and my love for food would still be out there. So that I would live fully at night and I would enjoy dinner.
So this concept of your passion, and you wouldn't eat macaroni and cheese, by the way. You'd eat spätzle and cheese. I know you better than that. What kind of cheese do they use in Germany?
They use, it's called Emmentaler.
Emmentaler. It's spätzle and Emmentaler, which is very different than macaroni and cheddar. I bet it's pretty good stuff. But, Christine, igniting your passion, you know, this is part of the American disaster. People lose their passion so often. They lose their will. They lose their fire. You know, how do you make a souffle if you can't light a fire? And that's part of the problem. So one of the things that you teach is to find the passion and find how to ignite it.
Yes. Yes, I just want to point out that on the way here I was running a little bit late. And as I was running late, I was coming with an intensity and a speed to get here. And I was thinking about, I got to be on time. And that put me in that frantic state that we might notice in New York. And the challenge is that keeps us from being present with ourselves. And when you're present with yourself and you have the ability to be in the moment, then you connect with things like passion. So in the society, we live in this constant blur, and we miss the signals in our body that tell us that we need to go do something. But we get blinded by addiction and by pace. So one thing is to be present, to learn how to be in the moment, the in the now. And the power of that.
Right, that's one dimension. And another dimension is to reconnect to deep excitement. So how we do that literally with our clients and people coming to the workshops, we let them reimagine a moment of full excitement. Could be at the beach as a child. A moment of that wonderful fire in themselves where they felt most complete, and it could even go into a sexiness of a certain moment. So just deep, deep feeling moments.
You try to get people to imagine grand moments when they felt totally alive.
Right.
And you get them to feel that. You try to bring it to people. When I used to do workshops, I remember I would bring people there through dance. You know, I'd be playing music and I would be trying to motivate them to dance because usually people could reach it through dance. You would get people to imagine and remember a time in their lives when they felt totally alive, totally free. Well, let me think. Can you think of a time in your life, Christine, when you felt that? When did you feel totally alive and totally free? What was one of your experiences?
One of my experiences is back when I was a ballet dancer, not a belly dancer, but a ballet dancer.
I know, I misunderstood her before. Well, she said I wanted to be a belly dancer, which I thought was admirable.
When I was on stage.
Yeah.
So the music, the combination of music and movement and sensing my inner feelings, building up, was for me one of the greatest joys in my life, to sense that the first time in front of an audience.
Wow. And you felt that?
I felt it, and I can still, within seconds, reconnect to that moment.
Wow. Okay, what about you, Bill? What was a moment of your perfect connection to your own fire?
On top of Mount Washington in New Hampshire.
What was that?
I love to hike, and it's one of the craziest place on earth in terms of weather and stuff, and I really love weather. I'm really passionate about that as well. But being on top of that mountain allows me to connect with everything that I stand for. So it's not only a signal and a feeling, but my values converge as well in that moment. And you could just feel a radiating feeling in your body. And
who's you?
Well, I'm referring to
you.
Me.
Oh, you
and,
felt.
And
okay.
I guess if people
I'm
can feel that
stuff,
too.
Guy. You know, I just.
Got it. So, but if people come to the workshop and said they haven't had those moments, and that can happen too, is we can have them imagine as if, or what if they could. How would they visualize that?
But don't you
that?
Think everybody's had that moment sometime in their life? Well, you see, Stephanie, did you ever have one of those moments in your life? Haven't you been one of those dancing, right? I know, but you have, didn't you, Gladys, right? Hold on a second, Gladys, here's Gladys. Gladys Santapau. Gladys, have you ever had one of those moments in your life that were like magic, tiger, you know, fiery? What would it be?
Yes, definitely. I went once to a farm upstate, and I was just in the country, open grounds, and I was just running and screaming.
How old were you at the time?
Actually, I was an adult.
Yeah.
But I felt so free and just connected with nature, and I was just smiling and just, I was actually, you know, screaming. I felt like the only one screaming, because I was basically just me and a friend of mine. And
yeah,
it was just exciting to just be able to scream like and run like a child.
Everybody's got that. What about you, Stephanie? What about you? Do you have that? Can you remember? Is it in dance? I know you have had so many magic moments in dance.
I know. I can't really pick one. I love it when I cook. I love to dance when I'm in the center.
Can you remember a particular time of dancing?
Absolutely.
Give me one.
At a club when people are dancing and they're hustling and I'm dancing with a partner and everybody around is watching and it's an absolute thrill. Sure.
Do you ever get it with your children?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yes. I think when all three of us are kind of converging with our energies, our passion. So we like to do a lot of things outside in the backyard, swinging on the swings, doing handstands, all sorts of gymnastics.
And you get lost in that passionate moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one of the things I think you've all described to me is that there's a moment of childlike freedom, that even though it's adult-like, it's a time, and it goes back to the magic show yesterday, you know? Here we go back to the show on magic. There's a time when you're free of the inhibiting self. You're free of that self which is holding you back. And in order to find it, according to both Will and Christine, and I guess to me, and I guess to the other two, you have to somewhere let go of those inhibitions, those things that are kind of sitting on you, saying to you, forget about it. Because it's not a matter of you shouldn't do it. It's just a matter of you forget about it. You know? Forget about it. It sounds so nicely Italian. Forget about it, right? Don't let that be in your mind, because if it were in your mind, if you remembered your passion all the time, you may not settle for a lot of the things we settle for in life. And then we couldn't plug this society along in the direction it goes along, and we couldn't let everything happen just the way it happens, and probably this government wouldn't exist in the form it existed if we all felt our passions. What do you think? So let's go back. So what is the part of us that inhibits us from feeling our passions? What is it? What is this part of us that, are there some beliefs? Is there something that stops us?
It's in one dimension is definitely certain beliefs, non-supportive beliefs we have, or limiting beliefs, or some people even phrase it negative beliefs. I personally prefer non-supportive
beliefs. Is that like,
yes,
religious?
No, it's not religious, not at all. It's actually, they form in us when we are children, and for example, parents or teachers, key people in our life, what kind of certain meanings and certain beliefs they have, they are transferred into us, into our lives.
So you mean there are messages that people give us, there are things that people tell us, that we kind of take on about ourselves. Somebody says to you, you're too clumsy, therefore you can't dance.
Right.
You can't earn money dancing, right? They give you these kind of messages, and then you, Christine, instead of becoming a ballet dancer, which you would like to become, you have these messages, these beliefs, which are self-limiting, what you call them.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Yes.
Is that right, Will? That's the way it works?
Absolutely. And the thing with beliefs is that's what those things, we hear them from outside of us, and then we take them on, and then we repeat them to ourselves. And repetition is the mother of skill. So we then begin to believe that language pattern that we teach ourselves. And we then believe that's reality.
Well, you're going to have to slow that down for me a little.
Sure.
Repetition. You say it to yourself often enough.
Yes.
You begin to believe it.
Yes.
Right? That's why it becomes a belief.
That's right. Because you hear it so often, you begin to think that internal mindset or that talk is an external experience as well.
Hmm.
You think that that's what you're able to do, but it might be false evidence appearing real in a way.
One of the ways that we hear when we do our work, one of the ways we've learned to help people deal with their beliefs is we've always had them externalize a belief. I'm sure you do this too. You know, when you imagine putting yourself opposite you, let's say in a chair, and then you criticize it, you tell it why it can't do what it wants to do. And so you say to it, you know, you're too clumsy, you're too stupid, you're too... You're too... You're not fast enough. You can't figure things out. And you say it to somebody often enough. You cough too much. And if you say it to somebody often enough, they eventually, and if you keep repeating all the limiting beliefs you have about yourself as if projecting them to a chair opposite you, you begin to recognize that the voice you're speaking with is not your own. It begins to sound like some parent from the past. Or somebody from the past. It could have been a brother, a sister, a mother, father. And then you suggest what you said, Will. You've incorporated the voice of someone from the past. You've said it so often to yourself that you believe it's yours. And it's really not yours. It's really something from somebody else. Something that you've incorporated as part of you. And once those beliefs are inside there, you're stuck with them until you expose them. And part of, I guess, the workshop or part of the power living, which is what they teach, is exposing these beliefs, exposing them, trying to find out what is it that you believe about yourself that's kind of a fabrication that's limiting you. All right, we're coming along here. This is pretty interesting. Well, somewhere along the line, if you've got your passions and you've looked at your shadow side and you're getting to know yourself, do you ever get to your dreams? I mean, do you have to, can you just do it without knowing what you want in life? Or do you have to not only expose what's real and what's not real, but do you have to look at what you want out of life?
Right, yes, Armand. So that's actually the next step.
Oops.
Step number four is...
Lucky me.
Yes, that's the to find out what your dreams are, were about. What are the dreams you might have abandoned because of those limiting beliefs, and to reconnect and refuel and re-engage with those dreams. For example, with the ballet dancer in my case, so I studied mathematics at the beginning, and I also have a degree in mathematics from university in Germany. So I became aware that I really ached to express myself through being on stage and be a ballet dancer. So, and I could then work out ways, whether I pursue that as a hobby or whatever, just take lessons and express that and start to pursue that dream.
Hmm. You know, it's a funny thing about dreams. One of the most embarrassing questions you could ever ask somebody is, what do you want in life? And it's usually embarrassing because a person generally cannot project. They can't say what they want. What would you like? How would you like to be? And it's usually the question that a wiser person asks someone who's hasn't thought it through. And it's an embarrassing question because if someone asks you, how do you see yourself 10 years from now? And you haven't thought that through, you get embarrassed. You say, oh my gosh, I should have thought of that. And you make something up. And people usually make up silly things. Like, I see myself like I am now, just with more money. Well, when we get back, we're going to take a short break. And when we get back, after playing you a little Vivaldi, because in honor of Christine Langerman and some of the other people who like classical music, we are going to, when we get back, we're going to address that question of getting to know what you want. And, understanding how to plan your life. This is Armand DeMille with you with Positive Mind. We'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes.
Thank you.
pretty enough, eh, my friends? Vivaldi. Concerto for Flute, number 3, Opus 10, Allegro. Isn't that sweet? We needed a little Vivaldi. It's the beginning of the year. Here we are at WBAI, 99.5 FM. In a couple of weeks, you know, we come up to the fund drive. During that fund drive, we're going to start on Tuesday, the 15th. There'll be a two-hour program here with me, Armand Mill, and guests. And we're going to be presenting to you. Oh, we're going to have a reoccurrence of the film Home is going to be at the Brooklyn Academy of Music, and we'll be offering tickets as part of the fund drive. So you, those of you who got closed out of the last one, will get a chance to donate money to the station and become part of the film Home, in which we have, you know, Woody Allen and a number of other people, Rosie Perez and me, Armand DeMille, as my little appearance in the film as well. It's fantastic. It's just a great little thing about New York. And so you could come join us down at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. So be sure to tune in on the 15th. And then I'll be back with you on the 16th as well for a two-hour show. That's Tuesday and Wednesday, the 15th and 16th. So make a note of those two. And then I probably will be off for a couple of weeks after that. So tune in for that. And those of you who wanted to cash in on your donor letters, this is a good time to do it, you know, if you want to make use of those. This is a good time because I will have some spare time because I won't be as active on the radio the week following the 15th. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're talking about power living. We're talking about how to make the most out of your life. And I'm talking with two guests who are friends of one of our friends here, which is Will Cook and Christine Langerman, who are life coaches who are teaching people how to live power living. And power living is 7 keys, steps to lead your life more effectively. And they've talked about a number of different steps, but we're getting down to this part about planning this, your life. What is your plan? You know, and how would you like to see yourself? I have a question for you, and I would like you to send me, if you can, a brief one sentence on how you would like to see yourself 3 years from now. 3 years from now, how would you like to be? Armand@thepositivemind.com is my email address. And we are taking your emails during the program, and we've been going through them. We've received a tremendous number of responses. I try to respond to each one. Armand@thepositivemind.com. How do you see yourself 3 years from now? How would you like to be besides rich? What condition? What would you like? How would you like to feel that freedom? Maybe you want to be dancing ballet, you know? No matter who you are, maybe you want to be dancing with your children, like Stephanie was, or maybe you want to be running in the field like Gladys was, or on top of the mountain, you know? Maybe you want to be doing all of those things. What do you want to be doing? How do you want your life to be? What's the quality of your life going to be? I have another question about that, too, because I've asked many people, how do you see retirement? And when you listen to people talk about retirement, most people talk about planning for death. You know, they talk about dying. They talk about, well, retirement means I don't work, I don't do anything, I don't put any efforts out, I visit my friends, I play golf. You know, my gosh, that's not what I consider to be a future. So 212-209-2900 is our telephone number here. We're also going to take calls. So you can either do it through email, armand@thepositivemind.com. How do you see yourself in 3 years? How would you like to see yourself? And we're going to talk and see what gets in your way. So maybe we could learn something from these masters of life who are sitting with us. I want to talk about how to make it happen. And I want to talk about how to visualize your future. Now, you two guys have got to help me with this one. Because Christine and Will, how do you visualize? What do you do for people? How do you get them to visualize their future? Hello?
Well, what you do is you have them get in a positive state of anticipation, get them excited, and when you put them in that state, you just get them focused on what is it that I truly want or what is it that I ache for in life. And when people start to focus on those things, they, you know, it's interesting. People tend to get a little bit jaded, you know, in their lives. And you were talking about maybe children earlier and being excited and passionate. And what's interesting is that people get jaded and they no longer think that things are possible. So in a brief illustration, if you have a kid who's sitting on Santa's lap or someone's lap, they don't see limitation. Instead of asking for one pool, they'll ask for two pools. They're very open. And you want to get somebody back into that state of openness, and you want to help them create the future in advance. And by creating the future in advance, you figure out, what is my outcome? And then you figure out how to do it. You get the outcome first, and then you figure out how to later. So you can do that by relaxing somebody or getting them excited. Or one of my favorite questions is to ask somebody, what would you attempt to do if you knew you could not fail? And what that question does is it frees them up from limitations.
Well, give me an example of some of the things that people say. What about you, Will? What would you attempt to do if you knew you could not fail?
Well, I would probably go up in the space shuttle.
Really?
Yeah.
What stops you?
Probably the current path that I'm on, but I think there would be probably some limitations as to, well, I'd have to become an astronaut, I'd have to go through these steps. And I think what would get in the way would be, is exactly that dialogue, is that it would take so many steps. But
now, that's what gets in the way of most people.
Yes.
But you're teaching people to not let this stuff get in the way.
True.
So how are you going to go up in space if that's what you want to do and not let this stuff get in the way? Maybe you got to talk to Christine.
Maybe I'd have to take an honest look at that. And then that's what I want to ask people to do, is to take an honest look at themselves and say, what are the perceived limitations? Because in actuality, you're right. And when somebody has a perceived limitation, it's not actual. It's what they think. It's not a reality. So I would have to take a look at my what's in the way. Maybe it's a shadow part. Maybe it's a part that maybe there's a limiting belief in
but
that.
But now if somebody has a belief that what they would like to do is to walk on the moon.
Yes.
And they're 90 years old and they're not going to make it because nobody's going to let them up in a spaceship between now and the time that they die, and they're not going to get up and walk on the moon.
Well,
so what if somebody has an unrealistic belief? I want to make love to Christina Aguilera. You know, somebody has some kind of a belief that, you know, they're just not going to make it. They're not going to get there. So some people have crazy wishes.
That's true. However, there was a woman who started hiking in her 70s, and she climbed out Fiji at the age of 92.
Sure.
So there are things you want to take the person to take a look at. What would be the steps? And if they aren't able to find the steps to that, then it's probably irrational.
Okay, so you, for example, going to the moon,
yes,
or going into space, I was trying to get you to find the steps,
mm-hmm.
and you say, yeah, it's very hard to find the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And that would give you the belief that this is not my rational...
Right, you'd have to sit down and talk about what would have to happen in order for that to happen. In other words, you'd have to look at the how-to. So you can have this outcome, but you have to sit down, what would the steps be?
So and if somebody is dreaming mm-hmm. about a thing that they would like... Somehow they would also have to say, in this plan, and this is where your skill comes in, you would help them say, okay, now what would you have to do to get there? And then you, with your skill, would try to see if there's a reasonable plan that a person could follow if they followed it. If there was no way of getting there, like, you know, I would like to have a baby. You know, I, Armand DeMille, boy, I'd like to have a baby. I sure would like to have a baby. You know, I think I've always wanted to have a baby. You know, and now, what plan shall I have to have a baby? Physically, I want to have a baby. Not I want to go adopt a baby. Now I'll go see a coach. I'll go to Christine and say, Christine, you know, this is me, Armand DeMille. Always wanted to have a baby. I want to have a baby now. What steps are we going to go through for me to have a baby?
Well, we would go through to two steps. And one thing is we would have a serious conversation why that is important to you.
Sure.
What the meaning beneath this of having a baby, taking care,
so now,
fathering.
So now you take a person's dream and you analyze it?
Well, not
analyze. You mean if you don't agree with it, now you just analyze it and you say, well, you know, because I think it's a crazy dream, let's take a look at what it really is?
The word analyzation, I wouldn't pick that. I would say heartfelt meaning to see why this is important to you, why you care about that.
Would you have analyzed his dream to go to the moon?
Yes, I would have had a serious conversation with him, what the meaning of that is, what that represents, what it stands for. Whether he finally literally goes to the moon is not important at that point.
And whether you go on a ballet stage or not is not really important.
Not at that point. There is a second puzzle piece missing, and that piece is then to creatively and also with your intuition imagine different creative ways how to make it happen. And if you combine those two, like in a recipe, when you mix and stir a dove, for example, then you find a solution. And then your step would come that you realistically see, you know, do I really want it any longer? What are reasonable ways I can approach it to get it in my life? And so on.
I just got the answer. I could have a baby on the moon. All right. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Well, what are the other steps in helping to find out what's going on? Because you're right, most people's wishes are somehow representative of freedom. You know, most people, when they have a dream of where they want to go and what they want to be, it's about freedom. It's about, I want to be free of something. I want to be free. And most people want the freedom of childhood again, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's nearly like a birthing process. So what wants to move forward from within myself and wants to find expression? That's what it is about. In your case, Armand, with a child, it would be, you know, is it about your fathering qualities or taking care or being a great role model or giving, you know, forwarding your gifts, handing them over to a child, and so on.
That's interesting, isn't it? I really don't want to have a baby. I was just trying to fix something that would be so far out there. Although it's an interesting thought, now that I think about it. 212-209-2900. Let's take a call. We have some time here today. Hi there. You're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there. You lower your radio, would you please?
I did. It's off.
Great.
You can still hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay. First of all, I haven't heard you in so long because the radio at my work... at my job doesn't pick you up really well.
Mm.
But so it's really great to hear you. And
but listen, what you could hear this program anytime, any day.
Okay.
By going to the website, thepositivemind.com, pressing on the archives, and you could listen to the show any time of day or night. It's there. People are listening everywhere in the world now. You know, we have people in foreign countries in the middle of the night listening to the program.
So I can get you live also?
Well, you can't get me live, but you can get an archive. And you can get me live on the computer as well, sure.
Really? Okay.
Sure. Just go to the Positive Mind. You could actually get it through the WBAI.org as well.
Okay.
You know, don't be limited by radios anymore. We're modern.
All right.
But anyway, welcome back, and glad you got in here today.
Thank you.
What's your name, by the way?
My name is Leslie.
Leslie.
You've helped me a lot in the past. I just happened to be home this week. And now I'm kind of tongue-tied. You mentioned wanting to have a baby. I was actually calling about something else, but you mentioned wanting to have a baby. And I took this week off because I want to make, like, a life-changing decision. You said, what would you do if you could, if there was no chance of failing? And my answer to that question is I would go back to live in Spain, okay? I lived there about 14 years ago. And got sick, ended up losing all my savings, going into serious debt, blah, 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 blah.
Going back to where?
Spain.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I really loved living there, you know? And I am aware that part of why I loved it is how I felt about myself while I was there, you know, rather than...
Well, what is it that you felt about yourself while you were in Spain?
Wonderful.
Yeah, and what is it? What wonderful part of yourself did you feel that you don't feel here today now?
Well, you know...
Where does your mother live, by the way? Does she live in your neighborhood?
Oh, you're funny.
I know. I could smell it. She lives... I guarantee she's within a half a mile.
No. Well, she lives about an hour away, but
yeah.
I still live in the apartment that I grew up in.
Yeah, I was afraid of that. Okay.
Ooh. And, I, as you posed the question, I realized it's not really how I felt about myself because I still feel that way about myself, but it's the reaction I had from other people.
Yeah, but like, you got to get away. You need to get away from your apartment. This is, and Spain is as far away as you can get. So you see what I'm talking about is my smeller says you're trying to get away to a point where you could feel free.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And that place is beyond your parents' influence, beyond that the history that you've got.
Okay.
So you could do that by not moving to Spain, and you could also move to Spain.
Okay.
You know, there's a part of you that when you were in Spain, you went bankrupt for a reason, because there was a calling bringing you back.
Why is that, though? I mean...
Because you're at the same reason you're still living in your mother's apartment. Because you're attached.
Why now?
Because you're attached.
Oh, God. So I don't know if this follows the subject, but how do you unattach? How do you disconnect?
Get another apartment.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean I could stay in New York City and the whole dynamic of me and my mother and I would change simply by changing apartments?
Yes.
She doesn't even come here anymore.
It doesn't matter.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, all right. Listen, you've got enough of an answer.
I love you so much. Well, you know what? I don't know you, so I can't say that I love you. But you know what? I love the
and Leslie,
amazing
you know,
things that you've brought to my life.
And you know what I'm saying is true as well. I could hear it in your voice. So listen, let me know when you move. Right? Send me an email.
You're brilliant. I will.
Nice to talk to you.
You will. Have a good year.
Sure. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Yes, you should open that retail store, Mohammed. By the way, Mohammed always wanted to have a retail store. He really did. You know why he wanted to have a retail store? I bet if I spoke to him so that he could sit there, so that people could come to him, so that he could sell them things that they like, and he could have that nice exchange with people. There's a sense of freedom in having a retail store. Do you ever want to sell things retail? Did you ever do it? It's a nice thing. Nice. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. You're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hi there.
Armand, how are you?
I'm good.
My name is Rich. My cousin Louie and I are very big fans of yours. I have a question for
Rich,
you.
Rich and Louie.
Yeah.
Great.
I've got a question for you.
Sure.
I recently lost my mate, and as a result of that, I got into a chain of negative behavior. And part of the consequences of that is I'm going to be losing my license probably for about 27 months.
Your driver's license?
I develop a life plan so that this doesn't overwhelm me and I could still find life enjoyable even with the lack of mobility and freedom like you were talking about earlier?
Yeah, it's very, very, very tough. I understand. You know, the lack of mobility is kind of a gift. Whenever anybody loses their license for DWIs, now I'm sure it was DWI, right?
Yes.
Right? Driving while intoxicated, probably two convictions?
Yes.
Right. So driving while intoxicated twice will cost you a 28-month suspension of your license. And what it means is that there's something inside you that is going faster than the world around you. You see? And what you've got to do is to find the tempo of the world around you and match it with the world within you. Now, what that's going to force you to do, believe it or not, it's going to force you to take a ride from other people. Now, the beauty of this is that means you're going to have to slow down to the pace of other people. So, in a way, you know, it's like this is its own gift. So you've got to surrender to this fact that you give up that license. You say, boom, here it is. I knew a man who wound up on a bicycle as a result of losing his license, and it was the biggest gift he ever had. He wound up breathing better. He wound up stopping smoking. He wound up all the way just 100% better, and they gave him his license back faster than he thought. And it was just a gift to him. So, you know, I'm saying to you, give it in. Give into it. Just figure you've been out of time, out of tempo with the world around you. And the world is demanding you don't drive so fast.
Okay, Armand, thank you for your help.
My pleasure.
Yeah, God bless you.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
This is Armand DeMille.
Hello?
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi there.
Is this Armand?
Yes, it is. It's Armand DeMille.
Hi. I love your show, and I don't know you. My name is Danny.
Hello, Danny.
Happy New Year. On your topic, as far as having a wish for the future, I think I might have something that's not far out but yet seems unachievable for me. I'm going to be 50 this year, and I would say up to this point in my life, I've never really had any direction. I've just kind of gone with the wind, and whatever came along, and, you know, I've done some things that were productive and some that weren't. But here I am approaching 60, and I would like to do something where I could help people. I would actually probably like to get into the nutritional health field, and I feel like it's something that's impossible for me to do.
Well, that sounds like one of the cases where a coach really, really would make the difference. See, that's where these life coaches, which have kind of crept up as a skill, you know, that's what they do. They sit you down and they say, okay, let's go over the steps. And that's, you know, we have one that works here, Christina Ulrich, and we have these people here as well, Christine Langerman. When you have a life goal like that that you'd like to try out, and it seems tangible, I think that's where those private meetings really make a difference. What do you think, Christine and Will? Does that sound like a case for the individual consultation?
This is Christine Langerman, and hi, Danny. I think definitely this could make a difference for you to map out a plan how to approach this and to see, you know, why you feel that calling to move in that field, in that professional field of nutrition, maybe a nutrition coach, or what that calling is about, and we would map out a plan to help you realize it.
So it's... there is help for that, you know. There is direct help for that.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's a life coach. And how would I get in touch with Christine?
Well, you're going to go through, there's a website called the GestaltNewYorkCity.org. Christine, how do people get in touch with you? You have a website, don't you?
I have a website, and the quickest way is to send me an email. So may I hand over my email
address?
Sure, go ahead. It's, I spell it for you, C-L-A-N... GERMANN@gmx.net.
Oh, that may have been a mouthful for a man who's using a cell phone.
No, so I got it.
You got it. It's amazing. Yeah. Listen, thanks for calling in.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate
it. Sure, we've got to be going. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I want to be thank you all. We will be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m., bringing you more effective, exciting things. As we said, if you want to find out more about this thing they're doing, you can go to the GestaltNYC.org. And do listen to, do go to the WBAI page, WBAI.org. You can get archives of this program and listen to many other wonderful things.